Good morning. All right, come on in, grab a seat. Grab a Bible, your Bible, your phone Bible. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I've got a job for you this morning. Then we'll pray. So here's the job. You need to find your application. We're going to walk through these verses one by one, just kind of talk about what they mean. That's often what we do here, just read the Bible together, talk about what each verse means. But you're going to need an application. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Last week I told you what it was. We even did it here. This week, you're on your own. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's pray. Lord, it is wonderful to be amidst a group of people that all went serving this weekend. I bet if I asked for a show of hands, lots of people would say they served someone. I thank you that you are among us, that you are working, that you're bringing good that we would not have naturally within us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these people. I thank you for the blessing to be a part of it. And Lord, we understand that it is your beautiful name. God, it is your name that causes awe and wonder. Lord, and we do come to worship you. And Lord, teach us today how to think. Teach us today how to walk. Teach us from the words of your great holy book. God, I can't believe. I now believe in your book. That a God who made us created a book, created words. Created help for life. Created, put something that's wisdom in the world. What a wild belief. Lord, but we sit under it and we sit at your feet. Lord, like Mary, and I thank you for the people that have come here to sit at your feet together. I pray that you would fill us with joy and with your Holy Spirit and with your teaching this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who were in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a typical greeting, but we have to remember a couple things in this typical greeting. The first is, Paul's defending his ministry. So right off the bat, he says, hey, I'm Paul. I'm an apostle. And he says, hey, Paul's apostleship was not because he went to school. It's not because there were people that decided to follow him and think he was an apostle. It's not because he got a degree somewhere. He says, I am apostle by the will of God. It does not matter whether the Corinthians decided he was an apostle, whether the Corinthians decided to follow him. He was, because God had declared it, God had made it so, an apostle by the will of God. And then he goes on and says, hey, and by the way, you guys in God's sight are saints. Pretty incredible. Corinthians had a lot of problems. He says, hey, you guys are saints. In the sight of God. All right, let's keep going. This kind of greeting is what you'll find in most of the letters, Paul's letters in the New Testament. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Well, first of all, we just recognize that Paul has been comforted by God. Because if he hadn't been, he wouldn't have praised God. Blessed be God. Praise God for comfort. Now, let's define this word. It means more than kind of sympathy and empathy and that soothing touch. It also includes bringing strength, strengthening, helping, making strong. So this word is kind of all of that. When you hear the word comfort. So he says here, God gave him comfort when it was hard, that we might be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. So there's just a basic thought I want us to connect with briefly. Did you know that God's comfort, right? You think of God's comfort, God's strengthening, things that God are doing can be done through people, right? And can be received. God's comfort can be given and received through people. And then verse 4, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we might be able to comfort. So think of a trial, think of an affliction, either now or in the past. You walked through that maybe partly for that, for some later time, there would be somebody else that would need what you learned. Isn't that crazy? You know, I just kind of think of, I had a conversation with a guy recently, and I just kind of shared, hey, I went through this experience in my life, and it's kind of similar to what you're walking through, and it was really hard, and here's kind of the way I processed it. And the guy said, wow, thank you. And then again, thank you. And then again, thank you. And I started thinking, what did I do there? Well, not really anything. God gave me the experience, and then he gave me an opportunity to share the experience, and we had this little fellowship of people that have suffered in similar ways. But it ministered comfort. And this verse is kind of saying, hey, Brennan, part of the reason you went through that experience was so that later on you can bring comfort to somebody else. And that kind of blows my mind a little bit. Because that means we live in an interconnected world where my stuff isn't just for me, it's for you. And your good and your bad is not just for you, it's for me. And my suffering is bigger than me, and your suffering is bigger than you. Well, there's a corollary point here. Maybe you're a person who needs comfort. But you think, as I can sometimes think, oh, I'll just get it from God. I'll get it from God Himself. I don't want to tell anybody my problem. Now, there are things that can just be between you and God, and I think those exist in the world. But generally, a lot of the reason we don't tell people difficult things that are happening in our life is just because of pride. We're too proud to bring it up with someone else. And we miss out on, not on comfort, we miss out on God's comfort. Because there are others that would comfort us. Right? Read it. Others that would strengthen us. Others that would bring good to us in our situation that have walked through it themselves. And we miss out on it. Paul is trying to encourage these guys. Hey, this whole, all these trials, all my suffering, all of it is bigger than you. It's bigger than me. God has a purpose behind the suffering. God has a purpose behind the comfort. Verse 5. For through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort. Sorry. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Okay, so Paul says, hey, I've suffered a lot. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 11. We'll kind of remind ourselves of Paul's sufferings. Or if you're here and you're not as familiar with Paul, this is what Paul's going to say about his sufferings in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23, are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil, in hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold, and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. That's Paul. You can turn back to 2 Corinthians 1. It's hard when you read a list like that to like feel it, you know? Do you think how scary it would be to be drifting in the sea at night? That'd be scary. Oh, it's just one of the lists, you know. It'd kind of be scary to be shipwrecked. But after the 3rd time, you might get used to it. It's crazy. You know, you can have a sleepless night, but I just kind of wonder why. I'm so cold, I can't sleep. I don't know how cold you've ever been. We live in Arizona. I grew up in Maine. I've been cold. But you know you're so cold? You've been so cold for so long, you get in the warmth, and you're still cold. And you're cold for the rest of the day. They call that being chilled to the bone. I don't know if the accuracy of that statement. Paul's been so cold he hasn't slept. And he can't even count the sleepless nights. You can probably count yours. I've only had nights where I didn't sleep not very many times. But Paul felt all these things. Now, he said, Christ's, well, let's see what it says here. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, those were the sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort. He said he had a fellowship with Jesus through his sufferings. He had a comfort with Jesus in his sufferings. Now, as he's kind of talked about his sufferings, he said, hey, they are the sufferings of Christ because he is of the body of Christ, as we are. We're Christ's body. And he says there's an arena of oneness with Jesus, an arena of fellowship with Jesus that I have in suffering. So it's kind of like, you want to know more of Jesus? Well, it's behind that door, and behind that door is suffering. And I find fellowship with Jesus walking into the door of suffering. Paul is in chains, but with Jesus. Now, what if I told you the Christian life is suffering? That'd be depressing. That'd be really depressing. But Paul didn't end there. Paul said, there is comfort from Jesus. There is, and he didn't say comfort, he said overflows. Right? This verse says abundant comfort. Abundant fellowship. Abundant consolation. Abundant strength. All that is abundant. All that overflows. Jesus was with Paul in his trials. It wasn't distant. He was right there, identifying with the apostle, comforting Paul. So Paul didn't choose his sufferings. He didn't get to choose them. But he trusted God in the sufferings, and he experienced Jesus with him through it. You know, sometimes when I'm sitting alone with my guitar, which isn't as often as I'd like, but there's a song I sing. And it's, and there's, the chorus goes like this. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee. Even though it be a cross that raises me. What's the thought? The thought is, it's that the suffering brings us up to be near Christ. That's the thought in the song. That's kind of the thought in what Paul's saying. He gets to experience God through his suffering. Well, I know we all suffer. And we don't get to choose them. We don't get to say, I want more suffering so I can be with Jesus. We don't get to say, I want less. We don't get to choose them at all. But you do get to decide in the suffering if you're going to trust God. We do get to decide whether we're going to turn to God in the suffering. We get to decide whether we're going to be open with others in the suffering. Because when trouble abounds, comfort abounds. That's what Paul's saying. Now, God may be working the circumstances so that you don't have any other comfort. What I mean by that is we look at it and we go, hey, we want comfort in the circumstance changing. And oftentimes they do eventually. Well, God can leave us in these hard places. And he does so that he can comfort, so that he becomes the consolation. He will make it so all we're given is Jesus, so that we can learn to draw on him. And if we find comfort, sufficiency in God, where he is enough, where he is enough in your soul, even though it's really, really hard, then we get to this place where it's like, what's the world going to throw at me? Right? I don't have a house or I don't have a job. I'm like, but I have Jesus in this fellowship, in this consolation, in this abundant comfort that I have. And it's like, well, I can walk through anything because I have that, and you can't take that away from me. Jesus will always be there. And he gives me a little bit more confidence to walk into the future, which is so unknown, because I've learned this comfort sufficiency with Jesus. All right, let's keep going. Verse 6. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Paul's saying, hey, and the other ministers that were ministering, when he had affliction, who is that for? That was for the Corinthians. And I've tried to put that together. So I'm suffering, and that is for your comfort, which I can kind of get, but your salvation, which I kind of get. So I suffer, and how does that bring about your salvation? I think God was using Paul's suffering to bring about salvation, and maybe in some ways that we can't exactly explain. But there may be some ways we can explain. So I think about, well, if God is teaching Paul to be rely on him more, if God is teaching Paul to know him more, that would make him a person maybe more able to for God to use, more humble. He relies on God more and he is more usable. You ever prayed a prayer like, Lord, I just want you to use me? Would you use me in other people's lives? Would you help me touch other people's lives? And so what God does is he goes, well, okay, that sounds great. If you want to be used to bring comfort and salvation to other people, well, we need to go to school. Why don't you and I walk through some suffering together? And often we go, oh, no. That's not what I meant. And God, I try to think about what God's response would be. I think his response would be, don't be afraid. I'm going with you. Don't be afraid. But do you see? Do you see from this passage, when we pray, God use me, that can be a dangerous prayer. Dangerous in that it might not feel good later. Not truly dangerous. But then he has this thought in here in verse 6. He says, when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Now, I don't know a lot about the Corinthian church. I'm not sure they had been shipwrecked. I'm not sure they had been in prison. I'm not sure they had done almost anything in that list we read. So what's Paul talking about? So here's how I meditated on that. We'll do it together. What sufferings do you share with all Christians everywhere in all the world right now? What comes to mind? Okay. Yeah. People stereotypes. We share that suffering. Good. Yeah. The trials of trying to have a relationship with God, even though we don't see Him. Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus says, hey, deny yourself. There's a suffering in the denying of self. Yep. I like that. Yeah, that's hard. Living counterculturally, Lindsay said. Being an alien here. You know, just expand on that. We don't live like people here. And that can be difficult. Others. Yeah. Yeah, obedience is hard. Submitting to earthly authorities is hard. Yeah. You know what I thought of? I can talk to a Christian anywhere, throughout all time, throughout any country, throughout all history. We all experience the schemes and the lies of the evil one. We've all experienced that. We all share in that suffering. And I think Paul is talking about the evil one. He's talking about their experience with the Jews. He's talking about the experience with the lost people have. He is saying, hey, there is suffering here, and we have fellowship in one sense. We walk through the same suffering. And I can look at you in this room, and I can say, we experience the same suffering because we are trying to stand strong, and we are standing strong for Jesus in this world. And you and I, we understand in a way that other guy doesn't understand. But you know what? You get to do that with people you don't even know. I can meet a believer from the other side of the world, and we know. We have undergone the same suffering. Now, maybe they've been shipwrecked. Maybe they've undergone more. But I know some of them are exactly the same. All right. You know what's also the same? What God wants to do with the suffering. So, whether your suffering is physical affliction, or it's a relationship problem, or it's financial problem, Jesus wants the same thing. Jesus wants you to experience Him in the difficulty. Jesus wants to be the comfort and the strength. He wants us all to trust Him more and to rely on Him. Even if we can look at each other and what really we're struggling with is really different, what God is doing with it, what God is after in it, can often be very similar. And so the idea of suffering in the New Testament is very broad. It's the idea of pressure, kind of like the idea of stress. You know, in medieval England, they used to like punish people by having them lay down and they put a board on top of them and they just pile heavy stuff. That's the idea of suffering. Like, there's weight that you're not sure you can bear up under. All right, let's look at the end of this verse again. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort. We're in verse 6 in salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings. What God is after is endurance. Now, when things are really hard, God often, circumstances change. But often, God wants endurance. God's looking for endurance. When we approach things that are hard, endurance. God wants me to endure. And not endure like, I guess I'll get through it. But endurance like a marathon runner has endurance. They overcome and they keep putting one foot in front of the other with their eyes on a goal. God wants us to endure. God wants to develop you. Now, if we, one last thought here from verse 6. So we have, if I am afflicted, it's for the Corinthians. If I'm comforted, well, it's for the Corinthians. Paul is very others-focused here. No matter what he's going through, it's for these guys. Jesus was very others-focused individual. And that's pretty impressive to me. When you're afflicted, it could be for somebody else. When you are comforted, it can be for somebody else. So Paul has a life that is given to the Lord and to other people. And it seems like he's thinking about what would be good for others, for other people. It was all about others. And this checks me. You know, it can be really easy when things are really hard to get self-focused. And for a lot of us, when things are really good, it can be really easy to get self-focused. How do I want to say this? The human health is being others-focused. God designed you to be others-focused. God never made you to be self-focused. And so oftentimes we can go, hey, forget about me. What can I do for somebody else? And that can be really freeing in the midst of a trial. It can be really freeing. I'm going to get out from me for a second, and I'm going to bless somebody else. You know, sometimes there can be counseling, especially secular counseling, in our culture that misses this. Where the counsel given is, hey, you have problems, you need to worry about you. You have difficulty, you need to worry about you. And I'm not saying that that cannot be the right counsel in certain scenarios. But what I think sometimes can be missed is humanity is healthy. Humans are healthy when they're focused
on other people when they're focused outward. And if we are counseling people and we say, worry about you and worry about you and it's only about you and what's best for you, we are missing human health.
Let's do some, let's keep going. Verse 7. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Hey, I've got promises. Paul's got promises for you. Promise number one, you will suffer. You are appointed for suffering. Promise number two, you're appointed for comfort. You're appointed for comfort. That's encouraging. Let's do verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself.
Wow. Now, let's talk about Asia for a second. This is just a detailed thing. This isn't the Asia that is on our map. This is going to be the country of Turkey. That's Asia for these guys. And then, so, we don't know what Paul experienced in Asia. We don't know. Could be persecution, could be really hard. Could be a health thing that got a lot worse with missionary work. We don't know, but it was so bad. Someone as strong in faith as the Apostle Paul despaired even of life. He had this anticipation of death. You could probably say he's driven to despair. Let's read verse 9. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul thought, I'm doomed. I'm a dead man walking. There's no hope. There's the sentence of death on me. And the only way is to trust God who raises the dead. And I just go, did Paul think he was going to get raised from the dead? Was Paul just saying, hey, the God who raises from the dead, that's the epitome of God's power, and so I'm trusting the God who has lots of power? But this man who thought he had no hope on dead row, a dead man walking, said, it happened, so I trust God more. I don't know how mature you think you are. I don't know if you feel like there's anything else for you to learn in the Christian life. Or you might just go, yeah, I do trust God. I trust God with life and death. Paul said, I can trust God with life and death more. And God taught me that. And there are still lessons that we learned, and they're the same lessons that we learned deeper. And here is one. And ultimate trust is the trust of life and death. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And Jesus is giving his intention for the people that follow him to take up their cross. And it's like if we executed people by hanging them, and before we walked them out there, we put a hood over them. It's like we're saying, it's like Jesus is saying, hey, put on your hood and follow me. Because the cross has got a little religious. We've got to take it out of the religious tones. That's the thought. When Jesus is saying it, it's stark. Put on your hood. Why would you put on your hood? Because you're going to die. If any man come after me, let him deny himself If any man comes after me, let him deny his happiness. Let us deny his bucket list. Let him deny it. For Paul, it was my life is Jesus. My death is Jesus. I trust God, and he's trusting God in this situation that he'll be delivered. He's trusting God for deliverance. He's trusting God for when he dies. There's a deep sense of his trust. My life and death are Jesus. And then he says, verse 10, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again.
Deliverance. And so Paul says, I was delivered, I'm being delivered now, I will be delivered. And that's what Satan wants you to not believe. That you weren't delivered in the past, that you're not being delivered now, and you won't be delivered in the future.
Paul trusted God for his deliverance. Now, how did that deliverance come? And we'll stop here at verse 11. But this is crazy. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many.
Paul says, I was delivered because people prayed.
That is amazing.
He's saying, Corinthians, help me in my suffering by your prayers. And it'll cause thanksgiving. And we'll all thank God together because you had a part in the answer to prayer. And you had a part in the answer to prayer. And it'll bring praise to God. And we'll thank God because we saw the answer of the deliverance.
Paul believed in the power of prayer.
He knew that his ministry was because of the power of prayer. His deliverance was because of the power of prayer. You know what that makes me think of? Christians all over the place that need to be delivered. Under governments that are harsh, under difficult situations, in places where they're a minority. Through the prayers of many, people can be delivered. It makes me want to pray for Christians around the world. It makes me want to pray for Christians in Afghanistan. Because that's in the news right now, right? How was Paul delivered? The prayers of many. We want Christians delivered in Afghanistan? The prayers of many.
It's also really interesting because I think of Paul and I go, Paul, you're amazing. Paul, you're like a hero of the faith. You are incredible. And I could go on and on about Paul and about how God used Paul. And if Paul were here and I'd be like, hey, Paul, You did this and you did this and you overcame this and like, you're a hero to me. And you know what he'd say? He'd say, well, a lot of people prayed for me. They were just answered prayers from other people that were praying. That's what he'd say.
We rightly admire Paul as a man of God. But do we think of all the people that prayed for him? Paul credited them for his effectiveness in ministry. Do you want to see God move more through ministers? Pray for him. You want to see God move more in missional community leaders? Pray for him. You want to see God move more? Insert it. In your kids, in your parents.
Pray for them.
Who knows how many Apostle Pauls God might raise up? People pray.
these verses, verses 1 through 11, it's like, these are encouraging. This is like a love fest. I mean, this is awesome. Paul's going to move in verse 12 to defending his ministry. Things are going to change drastically. As far as the feel of it, it fits more with the beginning of chapter 2. So we are going to stop there. We're going to stop right here in these verses, 1 through 11. So I'll stop. What's your application? I told you you're going to need one. What's your application? Let's pray. Well, Lord, it's an abrupt end here, Lord, and our time is gone, but Lord, I thank you that you live these difficulties in our life right beside us. Praise you. Praise you. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would experience you in what we walk through. We experience your strength, your encouragement, your comfort. And Lord, we want to apply some of this right now. Lord, we pray for Christians in very difficult situations across the world. Lord, deliver them. Deliver them. And that we would raise up thanksgiving to you when we see the deliverance. And maybe we won't even see it till heaven, Lord, but we can still praise you then. God, that you answered our prayers together, the prayers of many. Deliver them. You delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Lord, you can deliver many from the Taliban. Lord, we know you can. Lord, we know you will. Thank you for the chance to meditate on these verses. In Jesus' name, amen. Mr. Leone.